This document, really, it's a transformative tool. It ensures that the profession evolves to meet the future demands around sustainability, technical innovation, and ethical considerations.
Welcome to Where It's At, the podcast from CIET, shining a spotlight on the future-focused design discipline of architectural technology. Know someone who could benefit from listening? Subscribe and share this episode with your network.
Hi, I'm Nora Kokkarinen, Head of Education at CIET. In today's episode, we're talking about recent updates to the Professional Standards Competency Framework, or PSCF. I'm joined by Paul Laycock, Chartered Architectural Technologist and CIET's Vice President Education. This conversation is not only about what the updates to the Professional Standards Competency Framework mean to those wishing to qualify as Chartered Architectural Technologists, but it's about the wider impact this document has on the industry. Paul, welcome to Where It's At.
Thank you, Nora.
The Professional Standards Competency Framework recently had a review of it, and this was a cyclical review that we were meaning to do. And this was also instigated by another review that we had some years ago. And this was on a document owned by the Quality Assurance Agency for their subject benchmark statement for architectural technology. This was published in 2022, and then that is what is used specifically within CIET's accreditation processes to determine whether university programs meet the standards and instill the necessary knowledge into their undergraduate and master's level graduates. And as a result of that, the Professional Standards Competency Framework needed to be updated so that these documents are more in sync. And the PSCF outlines the standards and competencies that as of the 1st of May of 2025, we expect of anyone that is looking to qualify as a chartered architectural technologist. But perhaps, Paul, you could talk us through what's new and give us a brief update on the more specific changes that were made to the Professional Standards Competency Framework.
I certainly can, Nora, and thank you very much for that excellent introduction to the PSCF as it is. I think it's very important also to mention that this review follows on from the publication of the Grenfell Tower Inquiry Reports. So now the PSCF places much more emphasis and focus on fire, health and safety, as well as materials and building performance and regulations. In addition to that also, we include ethics, behaviour, professional conduct, and CPD have been a much greater focus point in this new document, in this new framework. The very title PSCF is an update of the original PSF, so we modified to indicate that it also assesses the competence of applicants in a much greater way. These are assessed at the threshold levels with the expectation that the chartered architectural technologist will continue throughout their career to learn, advance in their career, to update themselves, and thus further improve their competences.
Thank you, Paul. And in terms of for anyone that currently is either an associate member with us or holds affiliate status, what do the changes that have been made in the Professional Standards Competency Framework mean for them?
Really, I think this is sort of best broken down into the different stages of it. There's quite a few nuances and changes and updates to reflect the advancing built environments, both nationally and internationally, and the increasing sort of importance we play as architectural technologists in that built environment. So what I'll do, if that's okay, I'll go stage by stage through this just to give some indication for the updates and how that will be assessed. There are three stages to the PSCF process, as there were with the old PSF. Stage one, the educational standards. Now, this applies to those that don't have an accredited degree or master's degree. That's one accredited by CIET. There are many out there, so only if you do not have one, you must go through the stage one process. This consists of 11 different criteria that requires the applicant to demonstrate their learning and their professional development as applied and as laid down in the, as Nora mentioned, the QAA subject benchmark statement for architectural technology. For those not exempt, there's a word limit for this between 3,000 to 5,000 words, plus or minus around 10%. And again, only for those that don't have that accredited degree or master's degree. Moving on then, stage two, which everybody needs to complete. These are the practice standards. Now, like the old professional standards framework, the headlines have been maintained here. So we still have designing, managing, practicing, and developing self. So these have been maintained, but they've come into much greater clarity and emphasis on a number of different areas. Start with designing first. So really, we've increased the focus on demonstrating a real robust, sustainable and inclusive design solutions in everything that we do, relating to the anatomy and physiology of the buildings that satisfy regulatory standards and achieve efficient, effective construction and perform optimally and safely during their use at handover to the client and into the future. This is further broken down into five different criteria, very sequential, very clear that the applicant would demonstrate their compliance with. Second area then, managing. Now, really the focus here really has been increased and really sharpened on demonstrating the appropriate leadership and management of people, processes, procedures, stakeholders, projects, and ensuring the safe delivery of those during the design process and construction through to handover back to the client. It's really quite succinct there, really increasing focus on the professionalism around there. Again, divide into five really clear criteria areas that applicants must demonstrate their compliance with. Third part of stage two is practicing, as before. Really, again, increase and rounding off in focus to ensure that the demonstration of awareness and implementation of social, technological, environmental, economic, and political, legal and ethical factors affecting the practice and procedures of architectural technology, ensuring that the architectural technologist practices, as the name suggests, in an ethical and professional manner in delivering all of its services and their services. Again, broken down to different criteria area, four different criteria in this case, again, very clear, sequentially laid out that the applicant must demonstrate their compliance with. Last of the four is developing self. As I always say, not just CPD here, it goes way beyond that. Really, it focuses on demonstrating an awareness of the need for continuing development as a professional to advance and maintain your standards in your role and function, wherever that be in the broader scope of what it means to be an architectural technologist and throughout your career also. This is through the acquisition and maintenance of relevant knowledge, skills and experiences, as well as understanding the importance of behaving ethically, again, to meet the needs of the industry, wider society, and the environment we all serve. Just three different criteria here, but again, sequentially, easily laid out, and the applicant must demonstrate compliance with all of those. Word limit for all of those is around 2,500 to 3,500 words, again, plus or minus around 10%, so that's approximately 150 to 200 words per criteria. This seeds the end of the final part of the process. So at that point, the application form is submitted. That's assessed independently. Again, we have a really high success rate at this point, I think mainly due to the good support given by Central Office, the moderators and assessors as part of the process. So once successful there, the applicant will move on to stage three of the process, which is the professional interview stage. Now, this requires the applicant to demonstrate the achievement of professional standards through, as I said, the professional assessment interview. This is all about the client's ability to engage, communicate, behave and interact in a professional, ethical, knowledgeable manner with all of their clients, peers, colleagues inside their organisation, outside their organisation. This time, eight different criteria to be met. Subject has been successful interview, then the applicant will move forward to chartered status. I hope that gives a functional, succinct, but clear outline, Nora. So back to you.
It does. Thank you. And then again, we do have some resources available on CIAT's website, architecturaltechnology.com, for anyone wishing to download this document and read it in its full capacity. But then going beyond that internal focus of those wishing to qualify as chartered architectural technologists, what, in your opinion, Paul, do you think this change in the PSCF means for the wider profession as well as the industry?
Excellent question. I actually had a little quote in a journal, an article In the AT Journal, actually. So I will quote myself in this answer. What I said there was this document really, it's a transformative tool. It ensures that the profession evolves to meet the future demands around sustainability, technical innovation, and ethical considerations. Again, combining all of those three to make a much more rounded, ready architectural technologist to be successful in industry. But I'll go beyond that. I'll unpack that quote and sort of perhaps say a little bit more about it. What I'll say is this new competence framework, it's a real game changer for us, I think. It was a long in coming, it was a long process, but I think it really changes and upgrades what it means to be a chartered architectural technologist. So it's a changer for both the profession and the wider construction industry. I think it reflects how architectural technology has evolved into a highly skilled, highly competent, strategic discipline that sits at the heart of delivering sustainable, innovative, and efficient buildings. For the profession, it brings more progressive and holistic approach to what it means to be competent in today's built environment. It embraces not just technical ability, also ethics, leadership, digital literacy, and environmental responsibility, making sure that the chartered architectural technologist is ready not just for now, but ready for future changes, future developments to carry forward and produce excellence at all stages in their career. For industry then, it also offers clarity and confidence. So for clients, employers, collaborators can be assured that professionals who meet this framework have the expertise and integrity to deliver to the highest professional standards, not just at the point of being successful in their interview, but throughout their career, instilling in them professional development as a lifelong attribute as being a professional. Also reinforces the value that architectural technologists bring across all project stages from conception, completion, and beyond, expertise that is invaluable to the success of that project. So again, to summarize that up, it raises the bar for us while opening more doors for collaboration, innovation, and trust across all the built environment sectors. I'll add to that, if I'm able to as well, a real great example of how this has been brought into play is with our colleagues in our centre in the Republic of Ireland, where we have the Architectural Technologist Register Ireland. This register allows members and non-members to use achievement under the original PSF and now, and more importantly, the new PSCF to demonstrate competence to work in the Republic of Ireland in that centre area, and to benefit from the status and equivalence of professional recognition that all brings. Okay, I hope that's okay now, and back to you.
That's very good. And it's exciting to see how this will hopefully shape the profession and the industry more widely over the next decade or so. Typically, the lifespan of these documents is about that length of time. And lastly, is there anything else you'd like to add about the Professional Standards Competency Framework?
Probably lots, but appreciating the time scale we have here, what I will do now is call back to something you said earlier. The PSCF is available on our website, architecturaltechnology.com. Alongside that, there's a whole range of other documents that will provide assistance, support, and help for the application process. So there are exemplars on the website of how to put together the application process. However, this is the new process. Most of those are relevant more to the PSF, the original document, but we are working actively as the new applications come in, the new applications are assessed and interviews are completed, working effectively to put up the new and updated application forms that will show compliance with the PSCF. So go, look, be aware what's there, download it, and also watch out for the new and updated short course program that will hopefully be launched soon to provide additional support for all those applying to become the future architectural technologists serving the industry and the Institute. Okay, back to you, Nora.
Thank you, Paul, for being here and for giving us an update on this document. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Nora.
You've been listening to Where It's At. A huge thanks to our guests and to you for listening. Want to learn more about architectural technology, how to progress your career, or how to work with a chartered architectural technologist? Head to architecturaltechnology.com to find out more. The contents and views expressed by individuals in the Where It's At podcast are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of the companies they work for or the host. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as advice.